This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. My guest, Jeff Bridges, is famous for his work in front of the camera, starring in such films as The Last Picture Show, The Fabulous Baker Boys, The Fisher King, The Big Lebowski, and Seabiscuit. His new book, called Pictures, shows some of his work behind the camera. When he's on the set of a movie, he takes pictures behind the scenes and then makes a book of those photos, which he presents to the people he's worked with after the film has wrapped. The foreword of his new book, Pictures, is written by Peter Bogdanovich, who directed Bridges in The Last Picture Show and its sequel, Texasville. He writes that Bridges' photos convey the very essence of what making movies looks and feels like: haphazard, messy, profoundly private, and lonely. Most of the photos are of actors, directors, and crew members, but one photo in the book is of Texan Rusty Lindemann. Bridges took the picture while he was making Texasville. I asked him to tell the story behind the picture.
The wardrobe designer was fired about a week before we started shooting, and my character had no costume whatsoever. We had nothing locked in. And the first day of shooting was one of those days that are small little scenes kind of scattered throughout the entire movie. So it's really going to, in that first day, I'm going to establish all of my wardrobe. And here I am in my trailer trying to figure out on that first day what I'm going to wear. And I hear a knock, and I say, "I'm coming." And I open the door, and standing there is a Western looking fella. He's got a, you know, cowboy hat on and kind of work clothes. And the fella says, "Hi, my name's Rusty Lindemann. I own this ranch that you're shooting on. I just wanted to let you know that anything I can do to help you, you let me know." And I looked at him for a second and I said, "Can I have your clothes?"
Yeah.
And he said, "Why, sure." And he proceeded to come in and take off his clothes, and because I was playing a wealthy oil man who was exactly, you know, a fella like Rusty. And he, you know, gave me his clothes. We switched clothes. I did the first shot in his clothes. And then at lunch break, I went over to his house and went through his closet. And he gave me all of his clothes. So that was like, and there's a shot of actually of Rusty in the book. And that was like an angel sent from heaven.
So did you fit into his clothes?
Perfectly. It was just bizarre. You know, and I said, "Can I have those pens in your pocket and all those papers?" And he says, "Oh, yeah, whatever I can do."
Now, there's a picture of the Coen brothers trying to figure out how to get your head stuffed in a toilet without breaking your teeth. And that was about what?
Well, that's a shot in the Big Lebowski where they, towards the beginning of the movie, where they these two hoodlums take my body and shove my head into a toilet. And we're trying to figure out how we're going to do this this scene without, you know, breaking my teeth in the porcelain. And so this is a shot of the guys trying to figure that out. How we're going to, stick my head in the toilet and reverse it, or, you know, reverse the film or something. You know, how are we going to give the illusion that this is all happening at full speed?
How did you do it?
We just did it. I think we just, you know, worked it out. A lot of those things are kind of like, choreographing a dance or something, and you work with the other actors, and the illusion is that they're taking me, but in fact, I'm taking them, you know, and they're just holding on to my body, and I'm guiding my own head and responsible for my own safety. And I grab onto the toilet and put my head in.
Is one of the reasons that you take these photographs to keep the downtime interesting when you're making a movie? There's such long stretches where you're just waiting for the lights or whatever setup you need.
There's an aspect of that, of just entertaining myself. You know, some people will knit sweaters or read books, and I take these photographs, and it's wonderful getting them back, you know. From the lab, you see the proof sheets, and it's like opening up a Christmas present. It's wonderful. There's another aspect to it. I was talking with my mom the other day, and I think she was kind of inspirational to me. She has kept a journal for many, many years. I think it goes, it's going on about 70 years now. And I think that's where I kind of got hooked on this idea of, you know, recording your life. She does it, you know, through the written word, and I'm doing it now through my photography. And it's just personally, you know, when I look through this book, it brings these moments rushing back to me, and it's wonderful to feel that, you know, to have spent such intense times with people that you'll be, you know, with them for 10 weeks, and then maybe you won't see them ever again, but you'll have that, you'll have a photograph to look at, and it brings all those memories rushing back. And also, you know, you look at, I'm looking through the book, and there's so many returned, you know, visits of people that, you know, you work with often, you know, for one reason or another, and sometimes I get the feeling it's like different incarnations. Now you're, you know, someone else. It's funny.
Are actors and actresses usually comfortable about you taking their photos on the set when they're not made up or when they're not in costume? Is anyone ever afraid it's going to ruin their image because it's not the kind of you know, made up celebrity face that they're putting forward?
Yeah, I usually make a. Not an announcement, but I ask. It starts with the producer, and then the director, and then the actors. Usually at the first read through of the script, if anyone minds or would like me to take photographs, you know, if they don't want me to do it, I won't do it. And with the actors, you know, particularly, I can, you know, being an actor myself, I understand what their feelings are. Whenever a camera is pointed at you. It's kind of a funny feeling, you know.
Well, especially because there's so many tabloid photographers that are trying to get people when they're off guard and make them look bad, embarrass them.
Yeah, that's right. And I say, you know, if you just give me a little look, I'll be very sensitive to it and not take a picture. All the photographs in the book were approved by everyone whose, you know, picture was taken, and you know, everyone was kind enough to lend their image to the book. But as far as making them feel uncomfortable, usually throughout the show, I'll start to get film back, and I'll show it to them, and they'll kind of get excited about having some of these memories captured, and they'll be into it.
When you're taking pictures on the set of actors in their off moments, do some of the actors who you're taking pictures of want to stay in character while other actors don't?
Yeah, a few do. A few want to stay in character. I'll find most of them don't, really. You know, most of them kind of, you know, drop it and... And then when the cameras are rolling, they're well prepared, so they can kick into it. But they, you know, give your body a rest. I find to hold that intense thing can be counterproductive often, for mm-hmm. me anyway.
Mm-hmm. Have you taken photographs of actors who insist on remaining in character even when they're not in front of the camera?
Gee, I don't know. You know, it's kind of hard to separate that idea, this notion of staying in character and not in character. I remember doing an interview once, and it was when I was playing a sociopath of, I don't know if you saw the movie Jagged Edge.
Right.
But he wasn't a very, very nice fellow. I mean, apparently he was nice, but when you got to know the guy, you found some terrible, despicable things about him. And an interviewer asked me that question, you know, whether you stay in character or not, you know, when you finish working, when you come home, are you in character? And I said, no, not really. And my wife happened to be in the room, and she said, oh, she rolled her eyes and kind of cleared her throat. And I said, what are you talking about? Why are you giving me that reaction? And she says, you may not know it, but yeah, you carry a lot of that character around. And I think that goes for most actors, and I think it does go for me too, is that you there's a an unconscious preparation that you're not even aware of. You know, a lot of that character is with you all the time and you're not even aware of it. And so these photographs of people, you know, that you take, I'm not really aware if they're in character or not, or how much is them, how much is the character. It's a fuzzy line.
You know, I'm wondering, since you've documented so much of your work through these on-the-set photographs that you've taken, how were important occasions documented in your family when you were growing up? You know, the birthdays, the holidays, the graduations. Were there a lot of still photographs or home movies?
There were home movies and still photographs. I don't think any more than you know, normal family would have. And probably like most families, you know, they stay in the cupboard. You don't look at them too much for some reason. I don't know why. But I'd like to, you're asking that question. It makes me want to go home and break them all out and look at them all.
If you still have the technology to play them back.
Yeah, there you go. Absolutely. Get your beta stuff going.
Because your father was in the movie and television business himself, did he, like, really direct them?
Actually, now that you mention that, there's one really fond memory comes to mind. This is like maybe about 10 years ago. My family had a place up in Bear Valley, California, where we would all muster up there and have a, you know, a great time together. And one day we're looking for my dad. Nobody can find him. And he's locked into his bedroom and we're all concerned. And he's saying, "Don't bother me. Don't bother me." And finally, you know, about 4 hours later, he comes out. And he says, "Please, I want you all to assemble at the table, the dining room table," and we all gather around, and we're expecting him to read a will or something. We don't know what he's going to do. And he says, "My young grandson, Dylan, has requested that we film a version of Robin Hood. And so I've taken this time and locked myself in the room, and I've written a script that we will do." And he proceeded to direct this version of Robin Hood. And we did it all very seriously. And it was so funny how seriously we all approached it. You know, my brother, myself, my wife, and all our kids were all in it. And my dad took it, the most serious of all. And he got in a big fight with my wife, because he had all this grandkids out in the snow in peasant wardrobe, you know.
Right.
And my wife was saying, "The kids are going to freeze out there." And my dad, you know, blew up and said, "Oh, I'm trying to make a film, for God's sake." It was just wild. And we have it all on, and my nephew, Casey Bo's son, was the cinema photographer on this epic. And, of course, the best footage is all the behind-the-scenes stuff, which he very smartly filmed as well.
We started this interview talking about what it looks like on the set, behind the camera. You were on the set when you were a kid, because your father, Lloyd Bridges, was making movies and making TV shows and would sometimes bring you along. What did the set look like to you from a child's point of view?
Oh, gosh. The image that I have, and I wish I had a camera back in those days, was going to visit my father on a Western. And I used to love it when he would be in Westerns, because he'd always come home and he'd have all the boots and chaps and all that kind of stuff. And I remember dressing up and all that. But in this particular day, I went to visit him on the set, and he was supposed to be on a horse with a bunch of other guys, like a posse or something like that. And of course, the horses were too unruly and would move, so they put all these actors on ladders with little reins attached to the ladders, you know. And for some reason, that image of these grown men, you know, pretending to be cowboys on these ladders just cracked me up, and they had to remove me from the set. I just couldn't keep it together.
Your father died a few years ago. Do you ever, like, accidentally run into an old movie or TV show of his, you know, run into an old movie on TV, and suddenly, you know, from out of the blue there, you're just kind of seeing him in action.
Oh, yeah. It's so great to have that happen, you know, whenever it does, especially any films that we did together, because we had such great, great times, you know. My dad was such an amazing cat, this guy. He loved making movies so much, and unlike a lot of entertainers or you know, motion picture or any kind of actors, I guess, he encouraged all his kids to go into show business. And you know, anytime that there was a part in any of his films or, you know, his TV shows where there was a part, he always, you know, asked if we wanted to be in it. That was great news for us because that meant us getting out of school back in those days. But his enthusiasm for the work was probably the most important thing I learned from him. And his this enthusiasm was contagious. You know, whenever he walked on the set, you would just get this idea, you know, this guy loves what he's doing, and hey, we're doing it with him, and this is, hey, this is kind of fun. We're getting off on this thing. This is great. And everyone's level of work would raise a notch whenever he would come around. There's so many different ways to approach the work, and there's some actors who don't like to really relate to the other actors on a personal level. They like to kind of stay in character, you know, and that you can get some great work that way too. But my father's way was a little different. He kind of considered everyone a part of the family, you know. And,
well, you say that's your way too in the book, that you don't relate to people in character when you're on the set. You want to really get to know them, and that you think that might help you also in the filming.
Right, because you can bring those real feelings into the work, you know. Even if you're playing, you know, maybe you really like a person off the camera, but on the, you know, when you're making the movie, you're supposed to be enemies. He's supposed to be your kind of nemesis or whatever. Well, that doesn't really matter, you know. I think, but you know, when you get to know somebody, you can you've got more ammo to work with. You know, if you want to piss him off or tease him or, you know, and then you also have the safety ground that, you know, this person knows that I really care for him, so I can afford to, you know, really tear into it, you know.
In closing, I would like you to describe the picture that's on the cover of your new book.
Ah. Yeah, that is, that's a shot from the Fabulous Baker Boys, one of my favorite movies, largely because it was a movie I did with my brother, Bo. And this is the first day of shooting, and it was in a men's room, so the shot is filled with latrines. And when I put down my camera there, which you can see me holding while I take a picture of Bo, you can see us both in the mirror. I'm about to put that camera down and spray that black fake hair on his head.
Oh.
I don't know if you've seen that movie or not. But it was that scene that we were filming. And in this photograph, the front of the book, you can see my brother and myself in the mirror. And then if you look on the back of the book, you'll see the rest of the crew kind of going about their task, getting ready for the shot. And it's kind of a good example of the format of the camera allows you to really look around in the frame and see all the individual worlds. You know, we all sort of live in our own world in a way, and this camera really brings that out.
Jeff Bridges, thank you so much for talking with us.
Great talking with you, Terry.
Jeff Bridges, here he is with his brother, Bo, in the scene from the film The Fabulous Baker Boys, in which they play brothers who perform in a piano duo. They're in a hotel men's room getting ready for a gig.
Okay, give me an ulcer, Jack.
I'm early.
45 seconds doesn't qualify as early, Jack. Jesus, who's doing your tux these days?
Moon.
Now go to China, boy, will you? You look like you just crawled out of bed.
Be the envy of all your friends with miracle hair.
This is paint, Frank.
It's not paint. It's a magical sheath which simulates a dazzling head of hair.
Frank, this is paint.
Just help me put it on, okay? You're supposed to spray in a circular motion.